go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash that donate button. Send much needed fundage for free speech now more than ever. Keep it alive past five and on into the next decade. You can call that in at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. You can mail that in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And there's also PayPal options on the said smashed donate button. Don't smash it too hard. You want it to keep working. And you can get a free T-shirt for every $100 worth of free speech that you purchase, or you can get an RBN mug. RBN mug and T-shirt. So include your T-shirt size should you want to purchase that $100 worth of free speech that we so desperately need now. And tonight is the Tuesday Night Broadcast, the dynamic duo, and we're sending the bat signal out now.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am.
Holy, here we go again, Batman. Holy whiskers. Holy birthday cake. Holy headache.
Holy ball and chain.
Holy triple feature.
Holy slip disc.
Holy Tuesday Night Broadcast. Standing 6'4", weighing well over 245.6 pounds worth of political science, analyzing crime-fighting brawn from the underground caverns of Burbank Studios, Dr. Patrick Slattery. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy White Boy Summer to you, by the way. And two things. One, the White Boy Summer, Patrick Slattery's White Boy Summer playlist is up on nationalbugle.com. It was right under the Go Certified link. Now there's one other story there, but if you look at the second story, south of the Go Certified link, you will find my White Boy Summer playlist. That's one. The other thing, did you see Tom Hanks's son, Chet Hanks, his statement on the vaccine for the deadly coronavirus?
Who I did not enlighten us, Doctor.
Okay, you can see it. It is linked, the most trusted name in news, the Daily Stormer slash Hoax Watch, has linked to it. And I don't know, should I spill the beans on it? I guess I will. So he starts off saying, you know, he's really concerned about everybody's health and this Delta variant and everything, and you know he's decided that he's going to take the vaccine, and he recommends all his fans take it. Psych! I ain't taking that vaccine. He goes completely. What do you call it? I guess he goes completely rapper on it. Goes completely ghetto on the deadly coronavirus vaccine, and it was pretty funny. Yeah, it was quite based. And I don't know if he is inspired by all of the people like myself and Nick Fuentes and others who have come up with, who have followed his lead on this White Boy Summer meme. But it was pretty awesome.
Well, I did my part in White Boy Summer. I took all of our church kids out to a big swim at the pond on Sunday. And we had cookouts and just had a good blast. You know, and that's needed. Get together with friends, family, church members, and celebrate life and freedom. And not only celebrate it, but fight for it. And we have much on the news of fighting for freedom. What else do you have, Patrick, for the intro?
Fortunately, my mute button was on, and you didn't hear that expletive-filled tirade as we passed by a very, very obnoxious cat who wouldn't get out of our way and caused me to trip over Mr. T and step on me and get all tangled up.
Is Mr. T cursing again?
Mr. T wasn't the one cursing.
Ah,
me. They didn't even bark. And the cat didn't say anything, but it was being very, very obnoxious, just lying in our way, staring at us like that. Well, but okay, cats are cats. I'm not going to say they're evil. It's just cats.
But we all know the truth, don't we? Sorry, cat lovers. Also,
Cats are okay, but that was a dog right of way right there.
Yeah, dogs should always have the right of way. So, fighting for our freedom.
Yeah.
No, before we get into the prep, our governor this afternoon, at the precipice of school openings tomorrow and this week, our governor signed executive order stating that masks are mandatory in schools. And but prior to today, he was going to leave it up to the various schools in Kentucky to decide, and the superintendents, and the majority of the ones in West Kentucky, and I think the majority of ones across the state, were going to leave masks optional for students and teachers. So today, last minute, many schools are starting tomorrow, and all of a sudden he signs this order. So I was way ahead of the curve on this one, and our church has decided to organize and show up at the school board meeting that they're going to call this week. If they don't call one, we're going to have one, and we're going to compel the school board members and the superintendent to show up, and we're going to basically let them know that this is our town, and this is our county, and because we pay the taxes and we send our students to school, and we're going to stand up to the governor for him. Many students are not going to wear the mask tomorrow, and we're going to see what they do. Just like I've been saying for the last year, yeah, what do you do if I don't put the mask on? Then what? And here's the thing. It's not about the mask. And during the meeting, I think we're going to have to fill the gymnasium up because so many people are going to attend that are outraged. I'm going to grab the mic. I'm going to get up on the microphone and give this little speech. Do not bog yourselves down in debating over do masks work, how deadly is COVID, do the vaccines work, what are the vaccines? You can just get in the weeds on that. And for every point that you have, they'll have a counterpoint. That's not the issue. This is the issue, and this is the debate that you should force your friends and family and school board members, principals, and superintendents to have. Narrow it down to this. Just don't argue with them over all of that. Just say, look, do you believe that we should allow governments and corporations to dictate what we and our children put into their bodies? And then just stop and look at them. And when they say, yeah, but the mask and but the variant, no, it doesn't matter. This is the question. Answer the question. Do you believe that we should allow governments and corporations to dictate, mandate, decide what we and our children put into our bodies? Because the mask is just the foot in the door. If we let them get away with this, then next it'll be the vaccine. I assure you, mark me, when the vaccine is approved by the FDA this fall, they will mandate it for schools. And the school boards will be like, well, we're not going to let that happen. No, they will, because the governor can write an executive order mandating it for schools. If he can write an executive order over masks, he can write it over vaccine mandates, and then what? He can write executive orders mandating that you teach critical race theory and child trannyism. It will not stop. That's the debate. Should they have this power? The debate is not whether COVID is deadly, the deadliest virus ever. That's the question that I will pose to the masses of people that are going to be at the school board meeting, and that's what I'm going to pose to the superintendent to his face in front of these possibly hundreds of people. What do you think about that, Patrick? Patrick is muted. We're not hearing your great responses because you still got the mute button on. Just interrupt me whenever you get around to that mute. That's the debate you should have, whether it be on social media or whether it be in person or at your school board meetings. So if you're in Kentucky and you're hearing my voice, show up at a school board meeting this week. A lot of schools are calling them because of this last-minute executive order. And if they don't call one, then get with your local officials and call one. Hold it in the gym and have everybody come there. And another thing, do tell your students, do not wear the mask. And this is for any state you live in. If they're mandating the mask, don't wear it. make the system deal with the potentially thousands, and if you're talking about nationwide, millions of suspensions that they will have to do. This is the time we stand up. If we can get over this hill, then we've got them. And I know we're not going to stop it. We're not going to stop this global madness. But what we can do is in our little corners of rural America, we can provide ourselves a little umbrella to get through this, and we can control our own areas. Anyway, Patrick, did you hear that, and do you have a response?
Not only did I hear that, I think I sent you a picture of my kitchen cabinet door. It was excellent. There's just a lot of random stuff going on my phone, which is, I'm sorry, I'm a boomer, and it's hard to manage these things.
No apologies. But, use a clear gloss on that. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I need to do some work on it, but yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, I mean, that's the thing. You can get into extremely long technical debates on the effectiveness of masks and social distancing and the psychological impact on kids and whatnot. There is a value to focusing on one thing. And if you're going to focus on one thing, it should be the main thing. And I think you've put it very well. And thank you for your service.
And, you know, you learn a lot from martial arts. I study Wing Chun, and it's very, very simple centerline defense and attack. You do the most amount of damage with the least amount of movement and energy. And you centerline your striking point. It doesn't matter how many roundhouses or kicks they throw. You block your center line, you come in, and you deliver the center line punch or kick. And that's what we're doing here. You're narrowing this argument down to its very basic premise. Should they have the right to do that? And if the person says the answer is yes, you say, well, then, you know, what are you doing in this country? You know, you're telling me that the government can mandate what we put in our bodies. And most people will just shy away from it or won't answer it if they feel that way, because they understand exactly what it is that they're saying and the repercussions of it, even if they act like they don't. So these COVID disciples, they know exactly what they're doing, and you're not going to change their mind. But what you will do is you'll give hundreds or thousands of people an arguing point to push back on this hoax. Anyway, that's what I had for that. And I think the school board meeting is going to be tomorrow night. If it is, I'm going to cover it live if I'm still there at 9 p.m. Central. And this should be exciting stuff. If it's over, then I'll report on it. Got anything else? And then if not, we'll go to prep.
Yeah, well, just one quick note. George Washington was a smallpox survivor. These people who founded our country, they knew what real public health threats were. And yet they didn't put in lockdowns or vaccine mandates, and vaccines actually were originating right about the same time. They didn't put this stuff into the Constitution. They tried to think the Constitution through pretty carefully, and they didn't put, they didn't give the government authority to do these things to us. I think freedom of speech it was in there, and to speak freely, you have to breathe freely. I don't think they would have ever guessed that government 240 years later would be mandating that we obstruct our breathing.
Right. That's absolutely right. And this is getting to another point that I wanted to bring up in the prep. So before we get into the open discussion that I outlined, let's scroll down to the Jacobson case, because I had something on that. I tried to call in on the alternative media on Saturday, but the Skype wasn't working right. You had a caller when you co-hosted with Richard on alternative media on Saturday morning, and they mentioned this Jacobson case. 1905's Supreme Court, Jacobson versus Massachusetts. And so Jacobson, I believe, was a pastor, and he wouldn't take the vaccine because he and his family had been damaged by previous vaccines. And so they wanted him to pay a fine. He fought it, and it went to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of making him pay the fine. But one of the callers read part of the ruling, but they didn't read all of the ruling. Let me read it real quick. So the Supreme Court said that the citizen may be compelled by force if needed be and against his will and without regard to his personal wishes or his pecuniary interests or even his religious or political convictions to take place in the ranks of the army of this country and risk chance of being shot down in its defense. Now, first of all, let's pick this apart. The Supreme Court judgment there is talking about a citizen may be compelled by draft to fight for the country. Okay. They're going to compare this to compelling a citizen to take the vaccine. Now, it is not there, back to the reading, it is not therefore true that the power of the public to guard itself against imminent danger depends on every case involving the control of one's body upon his willingness to submit to reasonable, note reasonable, regulations established by the constituted authorities under the sanction of the state for the purpose of protecting the public collectively against such danger. So what they're doing there is they're saying, well, since you can be drafted against your will and religious convictions, you can also be compelled to take a vaccine because both are for the betterment of the community. But let's read the ruling here. It said that the court did not extend the rule beyond the facts of the case before it. Harlan ended his opinion by stating, Justice Harlan said, we are not inclined to hold that the statute establishes the absolute rule that an adult must be vaccinated if it be apparent or can be shown with reasonable certainty that he is not at the time a fit subject of vaccination or that vaccination by reason of his then condition would seriously impair his health or probably cause his death. Now the court's basically saying, yes, we do hold to the general principle that if you can be drafted, you should be, vaccinated for the betterment of the community and the country. But if it can be proven that it's against your, that it will damage your health, then that is not what the court is mandating. That basically they're saying that you can opt out under a medical provision. Now, this was 1905. This was before the Nuremberg laws. And this was, as we know, huge communities of Amish and Mennonites avoided vaccines and the draft throughout the 20th century for religious exemption. I'm just pointing that out, that when these people read this decision, they skip over that last part, giving you a medical exemption, which you can really work with that. Everybody can come up with a medical exemption if they try hard enough. And that we have huge communities of people under First Amendment that not only are not drafted, but are not vaccinated. Throwing that out there, I know we can't rely on the justice system, but we're right here on the break, Patrick, and I know you probably have much to respond to with your sharp political science analyzing mind, and we'll get to that side.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine in front of me. If you can see the light shine.
Karaoke edition. We might just break out into a number, kind of feeling it. So Patrick, you heard what I was comments on that Jacobson case. I'm going to kick it back to you. Let me know what you got on that, and then we'll get on with the original first part of the prep.
Well, I had never heard anybody read that. I looked at the Jacobson case a couple of months ago when I first became aware of it. But yeah, I'm no expert on it.
Well,
the big question is, this is going to the Supreme Court, and so it's been 116 years since that decision. It is due for another look. We've got, you know, new justices. You got those three. What was the guy's name? You got Keggs, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Island Baby, and the first guy, Gorsuch, or is that his last name, Gorsuch?
Waspy Gorsuch.
Yeah, yeah. And so these three people, they completely have let us down so far. Does that mean they're necessarily going to let us down now? Who knows? Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe, probably. I don't know.
But, and I'm not bringing up the case to because I'm putting any eggs in the must Supreme Court basket, because like we know they're not going to rule in our favor on the virus. I'm just going to throw that out there now. You can remember that I said it. I'm just pointing out that, I mean, not only have lots of groups gotten out of the draft and vaccines on First Amendment, but also like I've never read anywhere where Jacobson took the vaccine. He just paid the fine. So it's sort of like, okay, you know, hit me with your best shot, in the words of Pat Benatar. What are you going to do if I don't? It comes back to that, right? What are you going to do if I don't? What if I don't take the jab? Then what? Well, you lose your job, you do this, you do that. Nothing in this ruling says they can hold you down and vaccinate you. As a matter of fact, it gives you a medical opt-out. So I'm just throwing it out. It's not, this battle is not going to be decided at the Supreme Court, and we're about to.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, what people are facing isn't so much FEMA camps or the army coming door to door and holding them down and sticking a needle in. It is coercion because it's a threat of loss of job. It's a threat of getting kicked out of school. It's a threat of not being able to travel, not being able to leave the country, or even to travel on airplanes in the country, on trains, buses. So that's where the coercion's coming in, and I don't know. We'll just have to see. But it really does require people doing things like what you saw with people trying to bust into the BBC, what's been going on in France, and then what you're going to start in Western Kentucky right there at the school board.
It does, because we can build a community in our little areas here to resist. We're not going to stop the beast system. And I know you're agnostic, but like it's going to happen. But we can resist. We can have pockets of resistance and get through this. I actually had people calling me tonight about this, talking about, hey, we'll start our own school. Shut it down. I've got possibly hundreds of people here in this small county willing to just not do this and let the system shut the school down. So that's what it's going to take. Start your own school, and, you know, all of our law enforcement on our side. And if they're not, replace them. Period. Plain and simple. More of us than there are of them. And with that, we're going to get into a little bit of this virus regime. I'll get into my little first part of the prep here, and probably the break will catch us. But there is a line being drawn in the sand. Okay, the virus regime has drawn the line, and people are taking sides. And, you know, we've heard people in the white nationalist camp talk about, you know, the ethno state, this, the ethno state, that. We've never really seen a clear path to that that's feasible. But as I see these protests overseas, and even like the pushback here in the U.S., it is predominantly white, working class, Christian, or at least Christian-friendly people that are pushing back on this. Now, I have heard statistics that, less than 18% of the black and Hispanic populations have taken the jab, but that doesn't mean they're pushing back. It just means, like, you haven't waved the right thing in their face. The pushback I'm seeing in the organization is with the white class. And I'm wondering, here's a question, will that be the line that, like, if we do form a parallel society, and I think we're going to, I think it's inevitable, will that be the type of ethno state that people have been looking for? Not that it'll be pure, because... Let's discuss this on the other side of the break.
All right.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, welcome back to the show, In Plain Sight, Dynamic Duo. And though I was making a point before the break that as the line's been drawn in the sand, the major pushback that I see to this virus regime in both America and Europe, to the extent that it's being pushed back on in America, is by the white working class Christian or Christian-friendly. And of course, we'll be – oh, go ahead, Patrick. You had something on that?
Oh, sorry. No, I was just talking to my dog.
Oh, yeah, let Mr. T know if he wants to break in there with a point, like we're cool with that. We're dog friendly here. But yeah, and then also we're gonna have wealthy, like, white liberals fleeing the cities into our area. We're already seeing that, and they're driving real estate prices through the roof. Now is the time to sell. But it's gonna be like a Green Acres scenario, like city folk, you know, coming into small towns. Green Acres scenario.
Hey, can I bring Ava Gabor with me?
Ava and
Josh. Or is she part of the deal? Does she come with a farm?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Well, hey, neighbor. How are you doing, neighbor? I'm all ready for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so we'll get that scenario where we're sort of forming this parallel society. Will that look like an ethnostate? I mean, we're also going to have, you know, some very based people of color that are patriots that are going to join us, and they could live in our parallel society as long as they're good American patriots that are pushing back against this regime. I just don't see a lot of people of color organizing and pushing back. Maybe they're refusing the vax for whatever reason, but you know, I don't know that it's an ideology with them. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think blacks in general, there is a tendency not to be compliant, because ain't no one got time for that. So there's that. There, you know, I don't know if we do wind up in, because we are kind of tending towards these parallel societies, and if it really got a lot of momentum and went forward, the vast majority of white people even the white people that would tend towards the that anti-establishment society, they wouldn't mind having the based POCs in our midst, as long as they're not messing with us. I mean, the problem is, we're being messed with. We're being messed with at levels previously thought unimaginable. And, you know, you've got like the riots. You've got, just massive invasion from south of the border and beyond. And we're being completely messed with. I don't know. The thing is, if you do split into these two parallel societies, there's so many ways that there's so many potential clash points, right? Because at some point there would be a clash point between federal authority and let's just say Florida or Kentucky or Missouri or Texas governor wanted to nullify a federal directive, then what? And then if you're really going to break up the country, then what happens to Fort Hood? What happens to Fort Benning? What happens to these places? Yeah. And a lot of other assets. What happens to the Social Security Trust Fund or, other assets? It gets very, very, very sticky. Obviously the best thing would be for us to stand up, at least get some sort of temporary control, and if there's going to be a divorce, have the divorce on our terms, which is more or less what happened in Russia, although it then fell apart very, very quickly after the Soviet Union was dismembered.
And I think we'll see the big cities fall apart. But I mean, people have been talking about this race war, more like a COVID war, am I right? And that tree of liberty is getting mighty thirsty.
Things don't happen the way people expect. Just getting back to the Soviet Union, the very few people who expected a breakup thought it would be the Muslims against the Christians, and it wasn't. It wound up being the West-leaning Ukrainians and Baltic state people against the more Orthodox Slav people, and the Muslims were orphaned. They were actually fine with the status quo. They were orphaned.
I just hope that in that Green Acres scenario that we do get some like cool people like Asia, Eva Gabor. Is that how you say?
But Eva Gabor, but also the Green Acres, they were right next to Petticoat Junction, and there was a blonde brunette and a redhead at that little inn that they were running.
Right. Yeah. Little Green Acres. It's a great show. We've got college coming up. I think after the Green Acres bit, we could take some callers and then maybe save the rest of the prep for part two of Patrick and Jeremy tomorrow. But anyway,
I was kind of waiting for that.
Had to do the Green Acres drop. Thanks, Mike. Let's go to callers real quick. We got two on the line and more coming in. Reb from Colorado. Reb, you had a question for me?
I got real upset yesterday. I couldn't ask that federal agent from the dealers of drugs. And what he said was a lie. He never wanted to stop drugs from coming into this country. We know the whole DEA story. That's why this Bubba Scout Rev, U.S. Pentagon first team, and this is all United Nations run. He's just writing a book.
Well, hold on, Rip. He's actually did write three books, and it bothered him what he saw, and he's exposing it. So,
I understand that. Yeah. That's not the problem. The problem is he's a liar. He wasn't going to do anything about it. Whatever he's exposing, they expose a lot of things in those textbooks at Eastern Kentucky University School of Criminal Justice. And then when somebody like us comes along, puts it on their Facebook page, they threaten the students if they share our information. Because they don't want it fixed.
But he did do something.
I'm going to ask you a question I never asked you before.
Hey, real quick, and then I'll let you ask your question. He did do something. He got out of the DUA, and he wrote books exposing it, and he educates people on the corruption of it. But let's not argue over that. Ask me your question, then we'll have to move on, sir.
This is a national emergency. Our voices are in a conversation, still at the Joint Chiefs, with a terrorist. We never had that conversation. Do you know what that means?
You're having a conversation with people high up in the Pentagon, and I say again...
No. The evidence we gave to the Defense Intelligence, they knew what it was. They got intelligence in their name. Our voices are in a conversation, not could be, in. They placed it in a conversation with a terrorist, one of their shills, and we never even heard of those questions, yet they could put our voice... It's a Ninth Commandment thing. People who... say they know the book of Yahweh would know what this means. Aside from this, do you know what I just said? That our voices are confessing, seem to be confessing to something or other in this convert. It wasn't a real good job they did, but those are our voices. And we're supposedly confessing to a terrorist in this conversation. The Defense Intelligence Agency, they came running out. They knew what this was. Do you know what this means?
I don't know what you mean by our voices, and we're going to have to be quick.
I'm trying to tell you, that's what they were trying to convict us of, and we never confessed to anything. They made a phony confession using our voices. We know how they did it.
And I got you. They were speaking for you and setting you up. Well, fight it. Contact your...
You don't understand what I just said. We were attacked in America. That was a... an enemy attack.
Okay. The United States government is attacking its own citizens. That I know. We saw that on January 6th.
Government,
and they're going to continue.
The state of Colorado. Stand. This was done by the state of Colorado. This was never done by the U.S. government. Enemies have infiltrated and took over America from within. And you're not allowed to fix it. You can report it till hell freezes over. They don't care. That's why I was hoping that good people would hear this and say, you're damn right, you're going to fix this, white boy. That's what I was hoping. That's why I call in these shows. People listen. They say they got evidence to the Joint Chiefs and the Judge Advocate General covered by law and paid for by the taxpayers. We want them fixing this. And they're not letting us because the public opinion, it doesn't even know this is going on. We tell them. This is what's going on, and now you're going to get the worst of this. And you can protest all you want. You can have signs. I'm not even telling you to be violent. I don't say that. I said we want to restore order. It's on the official document of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We wrote to Admiral Mullen and was placed next to his name. And this was with General Pace before him, but he had an open forum. And we said, well, we're demanding restore order by whatever it takes. That's what we said.
And we got
a foreign enemy doesn't belong here.
And we got to move on, but the Joint Chiefs of Staff are not on our side, and they're not listening to us. But I appreciate it. I'll always give you a voice, but we can't go on with the show anymore. We've let you talk. Let's go on to the next caller. Appreciate it, sir. Wayne from Texas. Wayne, welcome to the show. Hey, Wayne, are
Hello.
You there?
We got you. Jeremy, when you were talking before about going before the school board, I had a couple ideas that popped in my mind. I wanted to run it by you. First up, it's important to understand these school boards are mainly a legal construct where the lawyers call the shots. So when these people talk about mandates and orders, they're talking what's called public policy. And that's not what I would call true positive law. Only a state legislature can create positive law. So when they say mandates or orders, they're actually doing what's called color of law. And if they implement these types of items, they're actually violating. It's like a deprivation of rights, which is a violation of one of the titles like 8 or something like that. I'm not sure. But And I really feel like that's what they're doing here with these mandates. They're trying to, again, provide an onerous type of pressure on you folks to go ahead with something you really don't want to do. And so that leads me into point number two, where school board members do take an oath of office to protect and defend the constitutional rights of the community they serve. So, you know, on one hand, they're taking this oath of office, but on the other, they're doing mandates that violate the same rights. So they're in a conflict there. And they also have what's called their fiduciary responsibility to do what that oath indicates. So I wonder what you thought of that, if you kind of come at it where you're kind of challenging their authority to even do these mandates, because they're definitely depriving people of their rights.
Well, we are, and the school board is on our side. It's the superintendent that's folding, and so hundreds of us are going to show up with the school board backing us, and we're going to look at the superintendent and say, we're not going to comply. What are you going to do about it? Patrick, what do you got on this?
Well, if you read legislation, if you read, you know, it's passed by Congress or passed by state legislatures, very often they bestow upon this body or that body certain regulatory authority. And so it's there in law. But of course, when you're doing something in advance, it's always difficult to know exactly what to expect in the future. And so, and of course, there's always this tendency by the various authorities that have been set up to, mission creep, to start taking on roles and powers that weren't intended for them. And obviously, this type of thing was never intended for a school board to be able to, mandate vaccines, mandate masks, and all of the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, the superintendent, you know, has probably, some documentation laid out as to what the scope of his authority is. And that may well be something to consider. And I would say, if I talk to him, like, in a public area like this, the first thing I would say is, I accept your oath of office and expect you to abide by your fiduciary responsibility to protect and defend the rights of my property, in other words, my children. And at least put it on the record that you've done that. And at some point, you know, if you get some good counsel, you'll follow it up with, some type of paperwork documenting what you said, and you expect that. Because if he has an oath of office and he violates it, I don't see why criminal complaints can be filed against him, maybe run him out of office.
Yeah, and our state Supreme Court, unfortunately, it will side with the superintendent and with anybody that pushes his hoax, because just a few big cities in Kentucky control the whole state, but take part in electing that body. But we're just going to basically say, no, you know, you can't do this, and we're just not going to comply. Hey, I appreciate the call, Wayne, and we got to move on. Got Ken from New York next. Ken from New York, welcome to the show.
That was a point well taken, in that apparently many sheriffs will say that they're not going to enforce any of these color of law items. My thoughts are a little simpler. When you say parallel societies, I always think back to the time machine. Are we going to become Morlocks and Eloy?
Well, I don't have a comment on that, Patrick. What do you got?
H.G. Wells has an H.G. Wells story. There was also 1952, 53 movie that was made on it. They kind of watered down certain aspects of it. But at any rate, the Morlocks wound up eating the Eloy.
I know.
Right? The Morlocks were the workers, and the Eloy were the effete elite.
Mm.
And the Morlocks wound up taking care of them, but basically keeping them as somewhat pampered livestock.
Well, yeah, feeding stock. You just have to wonder sometimes, what is more serious? Is COVID-19 really the problem, or is chlamydia the problem? Harris, I mean.
Yeah, chlamydia is a big problem. You got people who are trying to introduce impeachment, articles of impeachment against, what do we call him? Old man Biden?
The very thin old man Biden.
Yeah, old man Biden's all that's standing between us and chlamydia. And, you know, that's going to sting. And I say who's fucked.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks a lot, Ken. Appreciate the call. Moving on to Chris from Virginia. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, can you hear me?
Coming in loud and clear, sir.
Can you hear me? I got really good news, guys. I'm in Virginia, in Hanover County, Virginia, and I went to a school board meeting tonight where the board was going to have to vote on the mask mandate. There was a bunch of us there, probably about 150, well, about 100. We raised a little bit of hell. We put the fear into them. They left the room. They left the room. They were getting ready to clear us out of there. We thought they were going to try to clear us out of there. But somebody came in and said, if y'all just settle down, they'll come back in and they'll deliberate in front of you, but you have to be quiet. So we're like, fine, because we were already saying the same thing to each other. We're like, everybody be quiet. Let them make the vote. Let them say what they're going to say. They came back in. They started talking to each other and all that. And basically, long story short, one of them introduced a resolution to make mask mandates completely voluntary, completely optional for faculty and students. And that motion was passed.
Okay, well, that's a good deal. The question is, will your superintendent push back? Because that's where we're at. Like, the school board's on our side, and it's only the superintendent that's mandating
this. State superintendent?
The county superintendent of the school of this county.
No, the superintendent was present. That's the way ours works. He makes a recommendation. It's still a vote.
Well, see, ours is just saying we don't care. He doesn't care what the school board says. You're wearing masks because the governor told me to. That's basically the situation. So we're telling
is
no.
Does each county have its own superintendent?
Yes.
Okay, so he's acting as a. Doesn't seem right, you know?
Yeah, we're going to let them know that.
Yeah, amen. And guess what? Because that was the next thing in all of our minds. If they pass this, then what are we going to do? And we're all like, yeah, don't comply. So kudos to you and all your people, and God bless you guys. But I wanted to pass along that information. I'm glad the audience got to hear it. We're rejoicing. I'm drinking a Budweiser right now.
Gin martinis on the way here.
Everybody keep your shoulder to the wheel.
God bless you and God bless America. Patrick, you got something on that before we move to Dan?
Let's move to Dan.
Okay, thanks a lot, Chris.
Let's move to Dan.
Thanks, Chris, for your call. Dan from Washington, last caller, welcome to the show.
Hey, I just wanted to say I was up real late last night, kind of half asleep, watching on RT News on their website. There was an article about the president of Belarus, Poroshenko, and it had a link to Lukashenko. Sorry, and I would highly recommend watching that. He gave a press conference, and. You know, a couple report, one was from CNN and one was from BBC, and they asked their usual propaganda questions, you know, like, how do you feel about torturing your peaceful protesters type questions? And he laid into them. He made them look stupid. He called them out. And if you just listen to the guy talk, it was really refreshing to hear. I just felt like they were on the good side fighting for good. You know what I mean? If you watch that whole press conference. So that's about all I had. It's worth it. It's really long, but at least skip to the parts where the two women are asking him questions and he calls them out. He basically said we removed Trump from office. The deep state did. He agreed. He said that he was removed from Twitter, all media, and called America out for its hypocrisy. He called us out for shooting the girl in the head in the Capitol and said we don't shoot women in the head, and it was pretty good. I mean, he's really good. Babbitt,
yeah, it's good to see a real statesman in action. What do you got, Patrick?
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I want to go watch that. You know, he was somebody who, when he was called a dictator by the German foreign minister, who is gay, Lukashenko just responded, well, I'd rather be dictator than gay.
Yeah.
It's common sense. I mean, that's just science.
Boy, yeah, and I got the feeling, you know, he's kind of a tough guy, but you really get the feeling that he cares for his people. He's honest. He's, you know, even if he is a dictator, it's like I'd rather much have someone like that running us for a while than what we have now, you know. If he had good
Absolutely.
Intentions, you know, so. And also look at the women. Look at the women in the background too. The women in the government there and their reporters versus the CNN reporter and the BBC reporter. The clash of civilizations of women was incredible. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you look at the people who are in the anti-Lukashenko demonstrations. It's a bunch of women wearing face masks, like, oh, we want to be locked down. It's just so bizarre. But these people like Lukashenko, or I would say like Putin, they are so few and far between. And you can understand why if a country gets one, they're going to want to hang on. And they keep electing these guys over and over again. And you could say, well, the elections aren't completely fair. Well, they might not be completely fair. But there is certainly is every bit as good as ours, if not better. There's no doubt that Putin and Lukashenko are extremely popular and have easily majoritarian support.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. Yeah, it's on RT News. You got to search around for it, but you'll find it. It's in the Russian section, Russian Eastern Europe part. But all right, have a good night, guys. Thanks.
Great point, Dan. Appreciate the call, as always. And Patrick, thanks for joining me in part two of Patrick and Jeremy tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central on National Bugle. Y'all stay classy.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.